Live from WGBB, 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Up. Jesus is on the air.
Sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze.
Tony.
And it fills our soul.
I'm depressed.
Oh, John, I've never ever and seen you depressed.
I'm just so sad. It's the holidays. It's the holidays.
Well, holidays make me depressed too.
Oh, they're terrible. They're terrible. All I want to do is cry all the time. And I go to Best Buy and press my nose against the window and look at all the toys I could buy, but I don't have any money. What's the holidays all about, Tony? I don't know.
It's about Jesus Christ.
Will he give me a present?
He gives you a present every day, Dr. Palmer.
Does he wear a white beard with a red suit?
Well, he may. You never know.
Well, I don't know. Oh, well.
It's not like you to be depressed, Palmer. Come on, snap out
of
it.
That's what the show is all about.
Snap out of it, buddy.
I got the holiday blues.
Well, you know what? I'm depressed when I see my wife on the internet ordering the Christmas stuff and I'm getting the bills. Yeah, you're right. I am depressed.
I get depressed when I look at you. I don't know what to do.
You're such a meanie. And that was Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
And that's Dr. Tony.
And we got a great guest. Tell him, John.
I can't talk.
We have Cal Rubino here with us.
Rubano. Get
sorry,
the name
you're
straight.
Right. I'm bad at
you're going to get her depressed.
I will be depressed.
I'm bad at names. You know that.
So will my husband.
Carol runs Living Waters
Center.
Thank you. Living Waters Center. I just made
Come
it.
Come on. Get the name right, Palmer, will you please? For murdering her over here.
Yep.
And
I'm
folks,
depressed now.
Look at Trevor's crying. I can see him crying in the other room.
No, he's saying to himself, what a bunch of wackos are out there.
He nodded yes.
Well, folks, in case you don't get it, this is the holiday season, and so many people get the holiday blues. And that's what our show is about today. Holiday blues. And how do we blow them away? That's what we're trying to get across to people today. Carol Rubano heads up the Center for Living Waters. And it's a wonderful agency that consists of social workers and therapists. And they can help anyone in trouble. But it's not a commercial for the center, although we certainly would like that to pick up business any way it can. But it's really how... Do professionals handle people who have the holiday blues if they don't focus on God? Mm. That's our question. How do professionals do that? Carol, say hello to the folks, first of all.
Well, I'd like to tell you that I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be a part of the holiday blues with...
How can you be a part of the blues if you're laughing?
Well, a part of me. The other part of me is happy.
Okay.
The holiday blues happens to everyone. The holiday blues come with the holidays because the expectations and the desires of people's hearts cannot, in most times, be reached because people are not focusing on the true meaning of the holidays, which is love. Love and Jesus and family and friends and not the gifts, not the, the house being decorated up to the kazoo and not the perfect presents, but the love that we share with one another. That's where the answers lie, the love. And God is the source of all love. And once the person is able to get to that place, there will not be holiday blues. There'll be holiday joy, which is what it's about.
And doesn't that love come from Jesus?
Absolutely.
Didn't Jesus tell us there are two commandments that he wants? Mm-hmm. He wants us to love his Father with all our heart and soul, and he wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it's all about love.
It is love. And the greatest gift that God gave us was love in the child of in Jesus. And that is so beautiful that God loves us so much that he brought to earth a part of himself in the child of Jesus and his humanity to show us what it means to be a human being made in the image and likeness of God.
And that brings to mind something that I read, by the way, that our God is not an absentee landlord. He didn't just build the universe. He didn't just create it and said, oh, here it is. You run it yourselves now. No, he made sure that it was going to happen and it was going to run, and he sent his son, his only son, down.
Absolutely.
And I also know that God is very aggressive. People think that God's up in his heaven sitting there pontificating and looking down and waiting for life to end so he can get you. You know? That's not God. No. God is aggressive, and he's out seeking the salvation of souls all over the world, whether it's Christmas or any other time of the year. But we're going to focus on Christmas blues and the holiday blues, and we have a special present I was able to have last night at a healing service, a relic. And I'm not big on relics, but this one came with all sorts of papers, and it is a piece of the swaddling clothes that were around Jesus when Mary held him and that during their flight to Egypt. And we had Father Michael, a priest, last night pray with people until 12:30 at night. And just wonderful things, and people coming with the blues, with the blues. You use God in your practice, in relationship with God. How do you do that?
Well, the whole practice is founded on that relationship and has always been founded in my professional life on the relationship with God. And the way we do that, first of all, we're located in a building where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed or where the Blessed Sacrament is kept. It's an old convent. Used to be a convent in Melville, which is now part of a healing center for Living Waters. And I ask that the Lord clear me of me. I do pray for protection before I go into the building. We sprinkle the holy water all around before we start. And we, each one of our therapists tries to clear themselves of themselves and ask God to take over, because that's where the healing happens. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' healing, and through God the Father's ability to help the person be open to Jesus, that that really the healing happens. And at the end of our sessions, for people who are open, we do hands-on healing prayer. We have people of all faiths or no faiths coming to our center, which is remarkable to me, remarkable that people who see us and who enter our place feel a sense of peace there. It's almost like the walls were soaked with peace, soaked with peace. And people are thirsting for that peace of the Lord. And that's the only place that the holiday blues will be taken away, when a person gets peace, the peace of Christ.
And the expectations that people have are what cause the blues.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that this program should be, you know, the Thanksgiving weekend, because even for Thanksgiving, people also have great expectations of the Hallmark Thanksgiving. You know, everybody in the family being together, everybody being happy, nobody having troubles, everybody enjoying it, you know. But the reality is, it might not be. It might not be. So many people come into the office and they are just so disappointed and so sad because this one isn't talking to that one, or perhaps it wasn't, you know, this one was arguing with that one at the table, or this one didn't show up, they had to go to the in-laws instead of to us, or perhaps there are people who don't have anyone to share Thanksgiving with and who are very lonely, or people whose spouses have died, or people who have just been through divorce, or you know, people who are ill, and they're not focusing on what even Thanksgiving is. Although it's a national holiday, it's also a holy day. It's a day to give thanks to the creator of the universe, because everything we have is gift. Everything we have is gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were talking, I was couldn't help but wondering, do you tell these people that their worries and their anxieties can be given up to Jesus, and Jesus can carry it for them, and Jesus will give them the peace of Jesus?
Oh, we definitely tell them that, but it's not an easy sell. it really isn't.
Okay.
We tell them. It depends upon the person's openness to hearing those words. We plant the seeds, mm-hmm. and then it depends upon if the person is open to understanding that. You know, some people love to blame Jesus, love to blame God for their troubles, for one thing. Other people are open to hearing that it isn't Jesus or God. But my greatest joy and my gratitude is when a person does get it. When a person does really understand, that is so good.
You know, Trevor, this is a good time for us to insert the song, the next song. It's John Michael Talbot, and it's telling people, Jesus, would you please open our eyes to your love?
Love the song, John.
So listeners, sit still for a bit. Open your heart. Extend your hands.
Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see.
You know, it's so hard to face the holidays following the lies that evil plants in our hearts. Lie number one, there is no God. Lie number two, to believe in God is a fairy tale. Lie number three, God's in his heaven and you're all alone. You know, when you start listening to those lies and so many others, I've done so many things, God can't forgive me. When you start listening to all of those lies, all that you're going to do is become the grouch that I was at the beginning of the show. Crying, a crybaby. Instead of opening your eyes and your heart, and your ears and your mind, to what God wants to tell you, to what God wants to teach you. When you have people at Living Waters, do the counselors pray with people as well? I know you're all trained professionals.
Yeah, we are all trained professionals. We're licensed, and we do have our knowledge base, our base of knowledge when it comes to mental health. But we all pray with the people, and some people, believe it or not, because of their brokenness, because of the lie they're believing that God made their lives the way it is, they do not want prayer. But we still pray. We do intercessory prayer for them. And we also have an intercessory prayer team that prays for them. In Living Waters, one of the themes that we have is when nature decreases, grace can increase. Mm. So in therapy, what we're doing is peeling away the layers of the false self, peeling away the lies that the devil, who is the father of all lies, wants us to believe. And so that grace can fill those spaces that the lies were taken. And that's why a person's heart then becomes open to God. We definitely pray. There is no way to do this without praying, because in secular counseling and therapy, a person will go round and round in circles if prayer is not a part of it. I know that to be true.
I agree. Prayer should be part of everyone's lives, our lives, in every way.
If I were a listener who was in blue, and I came to you and I said, that God stuff doesn't work for me, it may work for you, how will you turn them around? Could you turn them around?
Yes, we turn them around very slowly through loving them, actually, and praying for them. And we're not out to say, well, you're wrong. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to actually be as kind, loving, and as showing Christ through the way we minister to them. I see it as a ministry much more so than therapy or counseling. We're actually ministering in our humanity to someone and showing Christ through ourselves to this person. Maybe they don't know that, but eventually what happens is they begin to sense it and their hearts begin to open, because God is a God, as you said at the beginning of the program, John, who wants the salvation of all souls. Mm. And that's how it happens. Some people, because of their brokenness, it takes longer than other people. Some people might not be ready for it as when they first come in, and we've planted the seeds. But after a while, maybe that seed will take root.
You know, I go to prayer every morning, and I listen, and I get words. And I say, what's going on with these words that I get? And this morning in prayer, I got something very unusual for the kind of words I usually get. And I want to read them, because it kind of talks from the standpoint of the client who comes in and says, I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And the response is, what have you been smoking? Think up life. You just can't, can you? How about this instead of, I think, therefore I am? I believe in God. He alone gives me life. Now you are thinking. Now you are thinking truth. It's funny. When you remove the lie that you are all powerful, everything falls into place. Reason prevails. Peace dwells in your heart. No wonder. Truth rules what you think, what you say, and what you do. And the words go on, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have false gods before me. And the response is, gulp. I didn't know I'd do that. We know. We bring these false gods to your attention at these holidays. False pride comes first. That deception starts the ball rolling. You think you are me. Thus you are free to do as you choose. Lie, cheat, steal, kill are just a few of the things you feel free to do because you think you are the center of the universe and everything flows around your needs and your wants. Am I overstating things? These negatives are the generic drugs of humanity. What happens when you overdose on you for the holidays? Unhappiness takes over in you. Catastrophic thinking prevails. You can never rest. You have to always be on guard, lest our truth knock you out of your command post as king of your mountain. Then you meet other kings and queens who want to rule your mountain too. All hell breaks loose as you battle to stay alive. Do you see the house of cards your initial belief builds? A strong wind, such as a bad holiday, from any source, blows it down post haste. Not a pretty picture, is it? How do you change it? And this is for the hardened listener who's got the holiday blues. Accept truth. God is real. God is alive. God is in charge. He lets you exercise your free will to choose to accept that truth or to live a lie. He sent his son to show you the way home to life and love eternal. His presence on the altar at each Mass is truth. His grace that you receive when you receive Eucharist enables truth to prevail in you. Doesn't matter what mischief lies send your way then. Truth always prevail. Is this a fairy tale? You tell me. While you conjure up your answer, let my love have its say in you. I love you, therefore you are. What kind of crazy truth is this? Truth is truth. We are not the one with the problem of uncovering and accepting truth. Listeners, you are. Have fun. Love us. So I'm saying to any listener out there who's got the blues, have fun. Do you want to follow your lies and be miserable? Or do you want to open your heart and your mind and your ears and your soul to God's love? I say those kinds of things in practice. I think you do too, Carol.
I definitely do. And that brings, and that was very beautiful. God's words are wonderful and always on target.
Aren't they always?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'd like to say, though, not to discourage the listeners, is this is a process. And it takes time. The place I'm at today is not the place I've always been at, because I did believe some of those lies at one point in my life.
Me too.
I guess I did too.
Sure.
You know,
Trevor didn't. I can tell he did. Oh, he got his hand up. Okay, he did too. Okay, go ahead.
Join the club, Trev.
Okay, so we're all in unison here. So don't be discouraged or feel shamed if you do believe those lies, because if you're listening, God's trying to move you from those lies. And it was a process for me, and still is a process for me, because I can get caught up in the world and the lies, but I work very hard and pray very hard that the Lord clear me of that. But one of the things I'd like to share with you is very recently I've been working with a person who was very distraught, suffered a lot of losses in recent times, deaths, loss of a relationship. And of course, then, when it came to the holiday, she was extremely, extremely sad, extremely, extremely depressed, extremely grieving. Something just told me, though, to give her a book on healing prayer, which I did do. And she read it, and I could tell the next time when she came into the office that somehow she had a bit of a spiritual awakening, because she was able to see things not through the lens of human eyes, but also through the heart space of the spirit. And something changed within her, and she was smiling. So that shows how God works through all of this. He works if the person's open to it. And seeing that picture of Jesus at the door without the doorknob, if the person opens the door to Jesus, Jesus will get into that person's heart, and the lies will leave. And it's a process, and it is very beautiful as a therapist to see when that does happen.
But, Carol, we need to open that door, and we need to allow him to come to our hearts.
Absolutely.
If we slam it and lock it, he's not pushy. He's
absolutely
just standing there waiting for us to accept him in our hearts.
Absolutely.
Unless he really has made up his mind that you're his, and he'll do what he did to St. Paul. He'll knock you off your horse. He'll blind you. He'll put you in a room and isolate you and then send somebody to save you. And he does that. And he does that, I know, with people who were just about to commit suicide. The gun to their head. And stops them, knocks them down, and they fall to the ground in tears, and their lives change. Unbelievable. You know, we like to think of God as meek and mild and sitting up in the corner. And my view of God is that he's just as aggressive as hell. And he comes out after you, and he doesn't sit still for nothing. He'll come after you no matter where you are, no matter what you are thinking, just as long as you even flick an eye towards him. He just glances his way, and he's there through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I know you've seen that in your practice. You've seen it in your own life. I've seen it in my life.
Yes, I have. I have.
But people can get, and I agree with you, John, that people can get, down on their knees because of what's happening in their lives. And but at the same time, sometimes at that moment, the person still won't open their hearts.
And
still.
That Paul, by the way, John, Paul's heart was opened.
I know.
And that's how he allowed Jesus to come in. Had his heart not been opened, Jesus would not have come in.
And there are people listening to this show right now whose hearts are so closed that they don't want to even hear this. And the only thing that's happening, they're listening to the show. So I ask you, why are you listening if you don't believe?
So open your hearts out there.
And why
let,
are you
and
trying
Jesus
to hide
in
from God? Don't hide from him. We have another saint that can go into the, help them get into the door too. And who's our saint today?
Well, who's your favorite saint, Carol?
Saint Diffna. When it comes to mental illness, that's, she's my hero.
Well, it just so happens we got your hero, Saint Diffna. And so St. Diffna was the daughter of a pagan Irish king and his Christian wife. So the wife was Christian and he was pagan. And the story of St. Vincent was first recorded in around the 13th century, but it goes like this. Difner was 14 when a mother died. Damon is Difner's father, and he was said to have been afflicted with a mental illness, and that it was brought on by his grief, by his losing his wife. And so Difner was born in Ireland in the 7th century, and that she was 14 when her mother died. And as I said, Damon, her father, loved his wife deeply, deeply in love with her. And that the aftermath of her death, as I said, was mental health, mental illness. And his mind deteriorated. And at Lent, he was deciding to remarry. Damon sought to find a woman who resembled his deceased wife. When no such woman could be found, Damon began to desire his daughter, St. Difner, because of the strong resemblance she bore to the mother. When St. Difner learned of her father's intentions, she fled. She fled the court, she fled the land, along with her confessor, Father Genobanus, and two trusted servants. Together they sailed toward the continent, eventually landing in Belgium, where they took refuge in a town. Damon would not let that be. He wanted his daughter. So he sent his agents to pursue his daughter and her companions. When the hiding place was discovered, Damon traveled to recover his daughter. Damon ordered his soldiers to kill Father Grinsmas and tried to force St. Difner to return with him to Ireland. But she resisted. Furious, furious, Damon drew his sword and struck off her head. And thus, she was murdered at 16 years of age by someone who was suffering from mental illness. And she used the patronage of mental disorders, neurological disorders, runaways, victims of incest. And she started manifesting, curing. In the 13th century, it came to light that she was miraculously curing the mental ill, people with mental disorders. And they were going to her, and she showed them love and pity. And this is the short biography of St. Difner, but such a powerful biography and such a love for other people.
That's a beautiful story. I didn't know all that about St. Difner, but I do know that she really has been a guide to me, even in my own life. At one point, as most people, there was some mental illness in my life that St. Difner helped me out of. And she really interceded to the Lord for me. And that's why I changed careers and became a counselor.
Yes. There has been records of inexplicable and miraculous healings of the mentally ill for those that turn to her.
In prayer.
In prayer.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So she's the saint.
And yeah. We don't have murderers, and maybe we do listening, I don't know, but we certainly have people in need of emotional relief. And St. Difner is the person to go to as a saint. There was a sister Difner who worked with Father Wheeler. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about her? Because they were in the area of mental illness.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm a transplant to Long Island, so I didn't have the pleasure of knowing Sister Difner, but I do know a lot of people who have known her. Father Wheeler, who was a Jesuit priest and has the nickname of Wheeler the Healer, and Sister Difner, who has now gone back to the Lord, supposedly rented, they rented the space that I'm renting now from St. Elizabeth of Hungary Church in Melville. And they had a center there called St. Joseph's Prayer Center. And actually, the prayer center is now in Patchogue, but St. Difna was part of that healing, and she, Sister Difna, rather, and she was supposedly a very, very powerful, grounded woman who's brought Christ's love and healing to very many people in the Diocese of Rockville Center. And so did Father Wheeler, who's now in the Bronx at the in Fordham, in the residence for retired priests.
You know, listeners, we want your attention all through this show, because now we're going to start a whole area of the show, that program, as my friend George wants me to say, an area of the program where we try to get you to begin to get over your holiday blues. Now, this is going to be a long segment, but filled with, we hope, joyful healing. And Trevor, we're going to put the first song on, the next song, and we want to put you in a prayerful mood. So what better song than The Prayer by Celine Dion and Bocelli? Get yourself comfortable, folks. We want to get rid of the blues.
Just for
And now, listeners, we want you to get rid of all the negative stuff that's in your head. And so for a few moments, while Carol reads the prayer from Living Waters, give God everything negative. Surrender everything to the Living Waters. Carol?
Lord of the Living Water, I come to you to drink deeply of your mercy and your love. Transform my parched earthiness into a sparkling spring, spilling into the lives of others to refresh them with the promise of your gifts. Let it shimmer to delight travelers, reviving their strength, leaving them to yearn for its source. Let it flood the land with richness and beauty, O Lord of the Living Water. May my thirst for you never diminish, but in growing, lead others to you.
Amen.
And what I wanted to say, too, is at Living Waters, we do not only have therapists, but we also have two couples who do spiritual direction, who pray with the person in combination to the therapy, if a person's open to it. The couples are the Nolans and the Fashinas, and I'm asking for prayers for Bob Nolan, who is now facing his own struggle of life with brain cancer. And we also do have massage with prayer at Living Waters, because the body does hold the emotions. And sometimes, in many times, in releasing the emotions held in the body, a person can become more open to the spirit.
And we want to make it clear that that's not Reiki.
No, it's not Reiki, John.
Not in the least. No. And that's important, because in our eyes, Reiki just lets in stuff that we don't want. So we just make that point loud and clear.
Absolutely.
It's a very interesting point, by the way, because that process is being confused with Reiki.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with you.
And it needs to be dispelled.
And Reiki is given honor and homage to Rei and Ki, who are two pagan gods. And so we don't want that anywhere near our listeners.
Absolutely.
I'd like to try and move now, Trevor, into the next song, because we have you quiet now and hopefully have gotten rid of some of your stuff. And Lord, we're entering into prayer a little differently today. Instead of doing names and petitions, I want to take them a little at a time. First of all, at holiday time, let's join hands, folks, around the table. At this holiday time, enter into those unfulfilled expectations of all of our listeners. Lord, take away their need for you to do as they wish, and let them give you permission to be open to what you wish. It's so important, Lord. Get them out of the way now, Lord. Clear them out so that we can do turkey, talk turkey on the day after Thanksgiving. Praise you, Lord. And now we ask, Lord, for those who are suffering from depression, enter into their being, change their chemistry. Get rid of those negative thoughts, Lord. Enable them to break into your sunlight, S-O-N, out of the darkness, into your sunlight. And Lord, there are people who are grieving, who have lost people during this year in various ways, to illness, some to suicide, other to broken relationships, and they're grieving, Lord. There are also people who have lost jobs, numbers of people out of work, Lord, and they're grieving. Lord, enter into the grief in their hearts. Roll back the stone in their heart, Lord. Come in. Come in, Lord, beyond their stony hearts. Melt their icy hearts. Help them to feel the warmth of your love right now, Lord. Right now. There are people who have no food on the table the day after Thanksgiving. They don't have the ability to complain about having seconds. They didn't even have firsts. Lord, help them find relief at places like the inn and other soup kitchens that will provide them with food. And there are people out of houses, out of homes at these holidays. They're in shelters. I know people who live the winter on Long Island in their cars, Lord, in their cars. Touch them even if they have their car radio on, Lord, and bring them out of that. There are others who have no warm clothing. We just finished a coat drive and sending almost 500 coats over to a home to help people in this cold, cold weather. Give them the warmth in their hearts, Lord, and then help them to find people who will help them feel the warmth of your love. And there are those who are angry and bitter at their mates or at children, or children angry at fathers and mothers for whatever reasons, Lord. Break down those walls, Lord. Get into them. Get into them. Clear away all that horrible stuff that stands in the way of their being able to be fulfilled by your love. Because what we're talking about, Lord, in this little circle and of praying for healing now, is to clear down the negativity that's in people so that the obstacles get out of the way and they're touched by your love. And once touched, we'll go to a place like Living Waters or to other people, other therapists who pray, or even just go back to church for 5 minutes. And it's all for your greater glory, Lord. We ask you, enter into all of these people. And Carol and Tony, if you have anything you wish to add, go to the microphone and add.
I'd like to also ask for prayers for those who are in the armed services and not close to home and their families during this holiday time, that God may heal their hearts. Also for those who are suffering through addictions. Addictions really, really are part of Satan's plan for a person's life. They destroy lives. That the people who are affected by the addiction may open their hearts to the Lord. And those who are living with people with addiction, that they may have the grace and the courage to continue their journey closer to God's heart, especially during this holiday time when addictions are so, so prevalent, so, so prevalent, and so akin to the holidays.
And Jesus, we'd like to give you praise and glory and thanks for the healings that you did on our petitions, all the healings that came across and that we were told about, and those that were helpless and had nowhere to turn and finally did turn to you, and you gave them help and assistance. And we thank you and we love you. And our most recent healing was my own brother, who Sunday I thought was in grave danger. And after the prayers and all, he did a miraculous turnaround. And it's so, we're so thankful that actually brings tears to our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And now, Lord, now we're going to pray for the hardest heart that's out there. I'm going to pray for the big sucker who's taken in every lie that you don't care, that you're not around, and that you hate them, and that you can't forgive them. I know who you are. I can see you sitting right before me. I'm looking right at you, Trevor. I can see that person who needs to be touched by you, Lord. Now, Lord, send wave of love so strong that we knock that idiot off his horse or her horse onto his fanny. And Lord, shake him up. Shake him up. I don't care who the most stubborn person is out there who wants to be miserable. Take care of the Grinch. Take care of Scrooge. Get him, Lord. Get him big. We've had Occupy Wall Street going on. Now we want OSC. What does OSC stand for? Occupy Saints Churches. Bring them all in, Lord. We have a whole new movement. And if you don't have to go downtown New York or anywhere in the country. You go to your local church and do a sit-in. Take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes, take 20 minutes. You can even stay overnight if they don't lock the doors. Stay there. And if you can't get into a church, occupy your own bathroom at home and be private and go to God. You know, that's where people do their best praying, is in the men's room or in the ladies' room.
They're or just taking there, a shower.
Taking a shower even more.
That's mine.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, I think we've really pushed as hard as we can today.
I want one more push.
Go ahead.
Lord, I'm asking you to soften the hearts of those that carry grudges.
Amen.
And those that carry hatred for others.
Amen.
And those that insult others.
Amen.
Soften the hearts of both the giver and the taker, and let them come around and let them come to each other. So I beg you, Jesus, I beg you.
And let them recognize that forgiveness is a gift that they're giving to themselves, not to someone else.
And Jesus does forgive, and so should we.
And forgiveness at the holiday season is central to enjoying the holidays. And forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision. It's not feelings. It's a decision. You decide to forgive, and then you deal with the feelings later.
Absolutely.
And it's a stage kind of thing. And when you deal with the feelings, eventually you'll feel reconciliation inside of yourself, maybe not with the other person. I have many people who come to me whose parents have died, and they can't reconcile with them in this world. So I tell them that. You make a decision to forgive, you deal with the feelings, and then you have reconciliation inside of yourself.
And forgiveness is a must. A must in the eyes of Jesus.
It's the only way. It's the only way. And now we ask Mary, through the cloth which you wrapped Jesus in and carried him during the flight to Egypt, we have you resting on top of all of our petitions, and we ask you, Mary, enter into everything that we've asked today, every petition we've given to you, and petition your son to touch people and kick the holiday blues to hell where they belong. Amen, Lord. Amen. And we want to praise you, Lord. Trev, we want to praise you.
Praise you, Jesus.
And we're getting into the final song. Praise you, Lord, and thank you.
I want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do. I want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do. Learn to seek your face, and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you. Birds in the sky sing their songs to you. Trees in the field lift their arms to you. I want to know your love much more than I do. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to know you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I want to love you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to love you, Lord.
You know, too, if you want to get in touch with Living Waters Center, phone number is 631-754-3990. 631-754-3990. And they are on an email, livb20@verizon.net. No, give it.
livh20@verizon.net.
Say it again.
It's Living Waters. livh20@verizon.net.
Sandy, my eyes healed.
And if you would like to send us your emails or petitions, please email them to us at listenup, listenup, 1240@AOL.com. We will respond to each and every email, and we will take your petitions and pray for them every week. And we so love you so much, and thank you for listening to us.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy day after Thanksgiving. And goodbye, Blues.
And happy Advent season. Tomorrow's a big day in the annals of the church. New liturgies are coming out.
Absolutely. And we're getting ready
and we're
for
getting
the coming
ready.
Of Christ.
I want to praise you, Lord, much more than I do.